One of the responsibilities of a church or Christian organization is to share God's word. This is done from the pulpit, as well as either selling or even giving away Bibles. See, many churches and organizations do this at fairs, town festivals, for example. They'll have small pocket Bibles for people to take, hopefully to read and study. I say that because I have a friend who's part of a church which does this at a fair. They have Bibles stacked up on their display with covers of different colors. She told me about the time when someone came up, started taking one Bible of every color. She politely asked the person to, well, just take one, so there'll be Bibles for others. Plus, they all contain the same words, material, and lessons, and wisdom. The person instead threw the Bibles they had picked up down on the table and stormed off in anger. Well, this is indeed living up to what God commands us all to do. Well, some come up short, quite frankly. The Bibles they hand out or sell often only contain the New Testament. Now, some might include the book of Proverbs, but the rest of the Old Testament is absent. Why does this matter? Because without the Old Testament, you can't fully, completely understand the New Testament. Here's what we're told in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. When Jesus was being tempted by Satan, who dared him to turn stones into bread, here's how Jesus responded in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he, Jesus, answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." When the Old Testament is absent from your studies, well, so is Bible prophecy. And while there is foretelling of what's to come found in the New Testament, certainly by Jesus, doesn't the inclusion of a second opportunity to understand prophecy via the Old Testament add to your respect for it? And what about Abraham? Some would say, okay, what about Abraham? He's Old Testament. We live with the New Testament, which he's not a part of. Really? Let's explore, shall we? First, let's establish who Abraham was. He was the man, in no uncertain terms, as far as God was concerned. Abraham makes his first appearance in the 11th chapter of Genesis with his birth name Abram. God comes to Abram with commands and instructions, which Abram follows. His life features both times of challenge as well as times of blessings, which leads us to Genesis chapter 17, starting with verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." So you see the importance of Abraham concerning what was to come in both the Old and New Testaments. Say the least, Abraham was a pretty big deal. Additionally, we as believers all are descendants of Abraham. You don't need to swab your mouth or spit into a test tube to find that out. This is clearly established in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." We also have what James writes in James chapter 2, verse 21. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar?" Yeah, I neglected to mention Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac, didn't I? Didn't want to ruin it for you. You can read that in Genesis chapter 22, because it holds a great and totally timeless lesson. So you're still saying that Abraham has no connection to us in the New Testament. It's Jesus who makes that connection, by the way. Let's go to John chapter 8, verses 54 through 58. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." I hope you'll take what I've pointed out to you and spend time studying the life of Abraham, which is told in the 11th through 25th chapters of Genesis. You'll learn how it's God who chooses us because, well, he knew us before we were even formed in the womb. He watches over us. We endure and overcome through our faith. Plus, what we do in his name will have lasting effects. Oh, and many believe Abraham's works for God aren't done yet. Quite a few believers and scholars think that Abraham will be one of the two witnesses, which we read about in the 11th chapter of Revelation. So if you want to be blessed, then live as a son or daughter of Abraham, always putting Father God first.